Hey guys, welcome to another episode of Pew Time with Tony, just Tony this week. Jackie has been very, very busy and has been tied up with other projects going on. Sorry it's coming out a little late. I've also been, kind of bedridden. I've had a bad stomach pain going on that is now recently started to go away, and I'm finally back home. Still dealing with it, but hopefully it's gone. This also caused us to miss our kind of starter match of the year, which was the Winter Indoor IPSC Tournament held by the Pine Tree Pistol Club in Rockford. I'm very sorry we missed it. It did happen, and we'll go over the results in just a sec. This episode will be a little bit shorter, as I can't really stay seated right now with the pain, so I'm going to get through it as best I can, and then we'll be back to normal next week. We did get one piece of gun news, and Six Hour has decided that it's a great time to release a 1911 again. This is the 1911 X series. The initial launch will be the 5-inch, and spring in 24 is going to be a 4.25 as well. You can get it in PVD, Coyote, or Nitron frame, so like a dark gray. Optic cut slide for little optics only. Yeah, I mean, flat trigger, lock grip, lock G10 grips. So, I don't know a price on it. But again, I mean, it's a 1911. I guess. I don't even know why I put that in the gun news. Anyway, let's go jump into the shooting sports. So, the WIT, Winter Indoor IPSC Tournament, WIIT. For all of those that like to throw that joke at me again and again, same time every year, I appreciate it. There were 126 shooters. High overall was won by Eric Camps. High Lady was Susan Brown. And then Limited was won by Joe Sanchez. Second place, Jerry Liss. Third place, Tim Pulowski. Which, gotta say, Tim, well done. I know you haven't actually had a lot of trigger time lately, so bravo, sir. And Sanchez, congratulations, their Uncle Joe, fearless leader of the gunslingers. Open was won by Ricky Garza, second, Rob Kozak, third, Magnus, I can never say Magnus's last name, McClotten. Production division, won by David Checo, Seco. Second place, Alex Icoli. Third place, Dirk Schluter. PCC was won by Brian Texan. Carry Optics was won by Eric Camps. Second place, Dave Del Rosario. Third place, Andrew Capozzi. Limited Optics won by John Martello. Second, David Colon. Third, Heath Creer. That's a lot of Chicago gunslingers taking some top spots. So congratulations, guys. Congratulations to all the winners. Eric, when you hear rumblings, because my buddy Eric was a production shooter for his entire shooting career, with the exception of sprinkled in matches here or there. I think some people may have underestimated Eric in the amount of time and grind he's willing to put in on something to get good or as good as he was with a production gun. And it shows, because Eric, he really showed this match that he can adapt to a dot very quickly. And it is something I'm happy to see. He ended up winning overall 789.87 points. The next person, Ricky Garza, open major, was 782. So he put a good put good points down for being minor, and you know, keeping all the A's. I think he shot maybe two deltas. Yeah, two deltas the whole match. So congrats, man. I'm proud of you. I can't wait to see what you do the rest of the season for Carry Optics. So well done. In this episode, I'm just gonna answer some questions that came in. We ask for questions every Monday. We'll put them out on Instagram, Facebook, and anywhere else. Or if you have questions, whenever, just shoot us a message or an email. And you can do that at pewtimepodcast@gmail.com. First question. What is the dumbest thing someone can do in a match to get DQ'd? So, there's a lot of reasons, a lot of common reasons people get DQ'd at matches. And I don't want to say most of them are not dumb. Most of them are related to something else. And I'll go through that in a second. I think the dumbest thing you can get DQ'd for, which I've seen, is drawing your gun while people are downrange. Yeah. One would think, given our lovely golden rules of firearm safety, that that would never happen. Well, it does, and I think it's stupid. But looking at why we do things such as that, so a lot of the common reasons are breaking the 180, of course. Trigger finger while moving or reloading, yes. Taking the gun out by a car is surprisingly more common when I talk to people than I thought, but I think that has to attribute to the other shooting sports. That was kind of somewhat normal for, say, like three gun, definitely in the shotgun sports. So it's one of those things about getting that education out there sooner. Or getting it more readily available to newer shooters. And that's where I think a lot of the DQs, like the DQs that we would look at as stupid, is people that aren't crazy familiar with guns but are getting into it, that just have way too much going on right off the rip. That's why I tell people that want to get into the sport, go to a shooting range, just a regular square range, get familiar with the gun. You should be able to load the gun, take your finger off the gun, or take your finger off the trigger, remove the mag, cycle the slide, all of that without putting too much thought into it. Like, yes, you're thinking through the process, but you don't want to sit there and have an internal debate of what you should be doing. You know, and you see it a lot because I think most people's reaction is to turn and ask for help. And I think those are the people that get DQ'd very easily for something like this. So if you get more familiar with the gun, this allows you to be more attentive with everything else that's going on, like the rules. So one of the worst DQs that I've ever had to do to me with someone is there was a lady, we were doing a classifier. I can't remember the number, but it was an uprange start. It was a turn and draw. And I told her, she told everyone she was newer, and I told her repeatedly, when you draw the gun, make sure you are downrange. Even on make ready, you're downrange. Repeatedly, at least 4 or 5 times. So when I gave her the make ready, she was still facing uprange, which I thought, as most people do, she was going to just do a quick practice turn and draw and then make ready. No. She drew the gun facing uprange, facing everyone. So it was, I don't want to say shocking, maybe. I was surprised. But again, I think that's from new people new to the sport. They just get all their jitters and their judgment and everything starts to get real clouded because they have to think of all of these little things they have to do. They actually have to think about those. Where if I tell someone that's experienced with a gun, they know, like, oh yes, I'm going to turn away. I don't have to worry about, like, well, how am I going to draw the gun? Like, dry fire before you go to a match. Practice getting the gun out of the holster. Just get the motion. Don't make, you know, you drawing a gun at a match, don't make that your first or third time. You should be able to go home and get a few draws and at least get your body to know what it feels like. I think that would prevent a lot of stupid DQs. Trigger finger and breaking the 180, that's easy. Dry fire and set up a camera. You will be able to tell. If you set up a camera on the 180 and you run and you can see the muzzle, guess what? 180. So I don't necessarily think they're dumb, but not really. They shouldn't happen. Needless DQs. So, and those are some easy ways to get around it. Next question. Oh, great talk with Jay Beal. That was from our buddy Eric. Thanks, man. If you guys didn't listen to our last episode, that was with my buddy Jay Beal of Team Walther. And he joined us for a very, very, very good conversation on some of his training philosophies, why he's decided to use Lego for training, and a whole lot more. So definitely go check out last week's episode. It was quite good. How does someone become a training instructor? Oof. Man, there's a lot to unpack there. That could be like an episode all in itself. I would say you really have to identify what you want to teach. There's a big difference between teaching basics and then teaching USPSA, obviously. But there's also the wrong, I don't want to say the wrong, yeah, they're the wrong basics. There's the teachings of teaching antiquated, outdated, useless material that then makes the next instructor they may take job even harder to try and get them out of a rut that you've put them in because you wanted to teach antiquated material. So I would research, I would tell you, especially because information is so much easier to get now, look for the best shooters in the world and work your way back from there. I'm not saying you're going to teach at that level, but there are things that they do. Like if you look at Ben Steger, his practical accuracy drill is way more effective and applicable than saying, oh, equal height, equal light, slowly press the trigger, right? It's good to know the basics. I'm not saying don't go over equal height, equal light, but that's just the understanding. That's the theory of what needs to happen and how we need to quickly do it. I'm getting way off topic. I apologize. Find out what you want to teach and then take a few classes from either that person or someone of that level and just kind of get a feel for how they teach, what they teach. Every instructor learns and steals from someone else. Give credit. Absolutely give credit. But you see it with all the top guys. Everyone finds something, oh, that's a good way to say that, or that's a good way to explain that. That's a great drill. But you really got to immerse yourself into the training. I'm not a trainer that just does it for the money. Because quite frankly, I mean, it's not glamorous amounts of money, that's for sure. So I want to make sure that I provide the best training I can give you for your money and that you actually learn something and take something away that's going to help you progress and get better in the art of shooting. So becoming a trainer is easy. Becoming a good trainer, I think, is harder. You can go to any company, any of the big names out there, and take a little training course and get a certificate that says you're an instructor. But to really dive deep and dig into what you want to train and how you want to teach and your teaching style, there's a lot more involved in doing that. But it's a journey. I mean, if it's something you truly want to help people grow with, as opposed to just, you know, cut yourself a check, I've met too many concealed carry instructors that it's just a paycheck. They just read off a screen, or have people worse, even worse, have people read the screen and take a little test and then hand them a gun and they barely pass. Like, that stuff really pisses me off. So, just figure out what you want to do and how you would want to be taught, and kind of work your way there. There are some instruction courses that you may have to take to get your foot in the door. Like, say, the NRA course. Some ranges won't even look at you unless you're NRA certified for something. Whatever. Take that course. You probably won't use any of the teachings in there. But to get your foot in the door somewhere else, it's an option. I hope that explains it. I know I kind of went all over the place on that one. So bear with me. It's a little hard without my better half being with me. Next question. What is the most useless gun currently for sale? I don't know if they're currently for sale yet, but that SIG 1911 is right up there. I'm just kidding. Well, am I? I mean, I don't know if we need any more 1911s out right now. But, what is the worst, what is the most useless gun? Man, there's a few out there now, huh? Let's see. I guess the... some people, I guess, consider the G43 useless because of the 43X. But I think the 43 still has its place. So I wouldn't say that. Shield Plus, maybe? Not the Plus. The regular Shield. Because the Shield Plus is essentially the same size. So why would you not? Those little Derringers? The little five-shot ones? The little North American Arms? Those are pretty useless. It still shocks me how many people legitimately think, like, oh, I got one of those for carry. I did meet someone that legitimately carried it in one of those belt buckle holster things. Holy hell. Oh, that's it. All right. I got a winner. So one of the most, like, practically useless guns has to be that Life Card by Trailblazer Firearms. Trailblazer, I think, is who that is makes the Life Card. That's that little credit card thing that folds in half and you got to, like, cock the firing pin back by hand, and it's a single shot. And yeah, that's got to be the most useless gun made. Not saying it's not fun. I've shot one. They can be quite fun. But it is useless. Yeah, that's got to take the cake on that one. Best instructors to take for getting into USPSA. Okay. I might be slightly biased. I think I'm pretty good at teaching people how to get into the sport. And I thoroughly enjoy teaching those classes. Ben Stagert, man, he's not really like an intro guy, but he's a guy, if you took the class, you would definitely understand practical shooting sooner. So Ben was the first USPSA guy I ever took a class from. And this was a long while ago. Man, it's the intro thing kind of gets throwing people off. A lot of people don't do the intro thing because it's not applicable with a wide audience, because most people don't care about the sport part. They just want to get better. It's a very niche class where if you just learn to shoot better, getting into the shooting sports is relatively easy by comparison, because you already know how to handle a gun. But intro guys, and it's really just a local guy, honestly. If you can find someone local, I teach a niche class that we do drills that teach you what fundamentals at speed are, and then we work on stage work as a true intro. But I would say Tim Herron would probably be my best for like an intro. So Tim's class is structured, and I've seen it because I was in a class with them. For people that have never taken USPSA, could take his class, understand a stage, understand what goes through, understand what shooting performance looks like, and actually shoot a stage. So Tim Herron, I think, would be the best one for like a true, like a, just a purely intro to competition. And those are just, that's just off the top of my head. I'm sure there are other great other ones out there, but I'd say his, at least from ones I've taken, that would be like the best pure intro. When is the Benelli getting built? It is getting built very, very soon. I'm waiting on some last minute parts to come in. Apparently it's still hard to get some parts. So I apologize. It is going to be built very, very soon. How are the platypi holding up? They are holding up quite well. I don't have any issues with them. I'm going to start messing with some spring rates and some different loads to get them squared away for this year. Any new projects or reviews coming up in the future? Yes, we have a 10 mil for review coming up soon. We'll be reviewing a red dot in conjunction with that soon. What else? Oh, Jackie and I are going to do a build-off against each other. Not really a build-off, because it's not against, but we each have something to build on, so that'll be kind of interesting. Oh, and for you guys that have Ace, or are looking to get the Ace virtual trainer, you can use the code LNL, and that'll get you one free month. And we just started doing, the Ace guys put it on. If you join the Discord server, every Thursday, they are doing a virtual match. We do a list of stages where people shoot the same stage. I haven't shot one yet. I will be shooting one hopefully next week to kind of get a feel for it. But they shoot 6 stages. And you just go on to Discord, you find the match, subreddit, but the match topic, and then go in there and click the check mark and whatnot, being part of it. Last time they even took a squad photo, posted it. It was quite cool. So if you want to try Ace on a different level, give that a whirl. That'll be quite fun. I can't wait to try that out with Noah and the guys. Other than that, guys, I apologize it's a super short episode, but I'm going to cut this one here. Thank you for joining me. Again, apologize it's late. Next week we'll be on time, back to normal with the lovely wife and I. If you have any questions, reach out to us at Laugh and Load on any of the socials, and I will talk to you guys next week. Bye.